Good to be here this morning. I appreciate the song service. I appreciate the prayer. And as always, I hope it doesn't become mundane, but please continue to pray. This morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In the interest of time, we're just going to kind of pick a few verses out of this chapter and try to expound upon those, so be in prayer for that. John chapter 8, verse 51. John chapter 8 says, verse 51, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Verse 52, "Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death." Can't you just see those Pharisees? They're like, "What? What did you just say?" Of course, you know, they didn't really care for hardly anything he said in the beginning. And they were always trying to catch something. They were trying to catch him in his words, you know, but that was impossible because Lord Jesus said what he meant what he said. Amen. Always. Verse 53, it says, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, who makest thou thyself?" Verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom I say, he is your God. Yet he hath not known, ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Did you hear that? Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." If you ever wanted to see somebody ruffle some feathers, right here. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. So you can see why in verse 59 it says, "Then they took up stones to cast at him." Because those Jews understood what he was saying. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Do you remember what the Lord told Moses? Because Moses asked him, said, "Who shall I say sent me?" When he was called to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, God said, "Tell them, I am. That I am that sent you. I am." Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." But I want to notice this part where he says that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Well, the Jews, what they said was right. He wasn't even 50 years old, and hath he seen Abraham? Or much less, hath Abraham seen him? But Jesus always spoke the truth. And he says, "Abraham saw my day." I'd love to go and turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. And again, in the interest of time, I'm not going to try to read this whole chapter or read much. I'm going to try to read a little bit, but we'll try to move along and save some time. Genesis chapter 22. Hopefully this is very familiar to everyone. Hopefully you've read it fairly frequently or recently. But Genesis chapter 22, it says, "And it came to pass after these things, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee up into a land of Moriah, and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll tell thee of. Now, if we're good Bible students, which I hope we are, we know that Abraham had more than one son. Well, we know that God didn't make a mistake. He means what he says and says what he means. He said, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son. We have to read, we know, but Isaac was the only promised child. The child of Abraham and Sarah. The one that the Lord promised they would have. You know, because, well, he gave them that promise and it took a long time for that to be fulfilled. And you know, they got impatient. And they had an Ishmael. Ishmael was Abraham's other son. But he had that son with Hagar. That was not the promised child. And if we, if you will, allow me to read kind of between the lines, Isaac, thy only son, what is about to expire is only going to apply to Isaac. This is only going to apply to Isaac. Because he is the promised child. So take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering. You know, we sing that song, Come Unto Me. He said, my burden is light. God hadn't called us to sacrifice any of our children. God hasn't called us to do those things. All he's called us to do is be faithful to him and to love one another. His burden is light. But he did tempt Abraham and tell him to go and to offer his son, his only son, that he lovest. And you know Abraham loved his son. He loved him. And we know that Abraham rose up early. Abraham was faithful to God. Rose up early. You know, if that would have been me, I probably would have tried to drag my feet. I'd probably try to find some way of getting around it. Try to get out of that. Offering my son. But Abraham was faithful to God, trusting in the Lord, and rose up early. And then verse 4 says, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? I don't know exactly how old Isaac is this time, and I'm not going to argue with anybody that tries to say one way or the other, but he's old enough to realize certain things. He's old enough to discern. Well, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the lamb? Seems like this is something they've done before, you know, make an offering or whatever. So it seems like he knows, I don't know how old he is, and you know what? It doesn't matter how old he is. Bible doesn't say, so therefore it doesn't matter. But he asked Abraham, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I want to pause right there. God will provide himself. Read some of the other versions of the Bible or perversions of the Bible. You will say they've changed something just ever so slightly. It's just a little bit of a change. But it said God will provide for himself a lamb. God will provide for himself a lamb. And again, if you know the story, you know how the account goes. You know that Abraham looks and he sees a ram caught in the thicket. Well, you could say, well, yeah, God provided for himself there. Yes, he did provide that ram. But the picture here is taking his son, his only son of promise, offering him as a burnt offering. And that ram being there is a picture. Remember, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. He saw the day of the Lord. So yes, he did provide that ram. But when the scripture says that God will provide himself a lamb, that was a ram. God will provide himself lamb, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. So we know that Abraham took and bound his son and laid him upon the wood, stretched forth that knife, and the angel of the Lord called out and told him to lay not a hand on the lad. And we see that Abraham looked. In verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. We have this beautiful picture that Abraham rejoiced to see the day. We see this picture that something took the place of his son. Now we know over in Hebrews that, you know, Paul tells us in Hebrews that Abraham was accounting and faithful to God, that thing, even if he had to slay his son, that God would raise him up, because God had made promises about Isaac that he was going to fulfill. You know, there are so many angles you can come at this. There's so much in this. But my thing is that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. We have, I think it's 1 John 4 and 10. Says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. Now, I'll be honest, that's a word that I don't use very often, or maybe not ever unless I'm preaching. So I had to look it up and wanted to make sure that everybody understood what this is. Now, this is Webster's definition of propitiation. The act of gaining or regaining the favor or goodwill of someone or something. In parentheses, it had appeasement. Jesus Christ coming to this earth and dying upon the cross was the appeasement that had to be to make an atonement for our sins. The only fit sacrifice. Now, I've heard some people say, well, Jesus didn't take our place on the cross. What did he do then? That was my rightful place. Is on the cross. That's my rightful place for having the wrath of God poured upon me forever, because I have sinned. I've come short. But God so loved the world of his elect, that he gave his only begotten son. That most beloved verse of the Bible, right? Now some people will try to say this the world over, and you have to make that choice. Well, I read over in Ephesians that God, according to this, he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So he chose a people and placed them in the most secure place he had, Jesus Christ. So of his elect family. But made a propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ coming. That ram that Abraham took and offered in the stead of Isaac was a picture that one day Jesus would come and take our place in our stead and redeem us from sins. You know, we have that where it talks about the blood of bulls and goats that could never take away the sins. You know, the animal sacrifices that they had to do over and over and over again, year after year after year. They were just pictures. They were just types and shadows of what would be to come. And I turned away from Hebrews. Well, I turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hasten on here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, make the comers therefore thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more consciousness of sin. But they couldn't. Those animal sacrifices, they can't take away the sin. That's just something they had to do over and over and over again, as a picture and a sacrifice would have to be made. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. In the interest of time, let's skip on down to verse 12. We're talking about Jesus coming. And it's verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till all his enemies be made his footstools, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Them that are sanctified. You see that picture where God calls Abraham, take thy son, thine only son. We have that picture that only one of those children, only one, it would obtain too, not the other. He says, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. This was only going to apply to Isaac and his seed. This was only going to apply to God's people. This, what has perspired, is only applied to his chosen, elect family of God. And when he said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. I love to think back of that time in Genesis chapter 22 where Abraham, who he loved his son so much, but he loved God so much the more that he was willing to do what God had told him to do. And you know, as a father, that had to be a great rejoicement that he didn't have to continue with that act. He didn't have to slay Isaac. So Abraham rejoiced to see his day. There's so many types and shadows of the things to come. But brothers and sisters, why not? Why can't we have the faith of Abraham? We're on this side of Calvary. We've known, we have seen the fulfillment of it. You know, like I said, over in the Old Testament, they just had types and shadows and beautiful pictures of that. Brothers and sisters, we have the fulfillment of this prophecy. We have the fulfillment that Jesus came and saved us from our sins. Why can't I have the faith of Abraham and do as I should? But he did say, those that hear, that do my saying, let me turn back over there to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Some people may still be like, well, the people die all the time. We have loved ones that pass on all the time. Brothers and sisters, if you know that Jesus has taken away the penalty of death, what was that of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15? Bear with me, I didn't have that one. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Right? Because Jesus had paid the price. And it said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can say, we never see death, because as soon as we close our eyes in this world, we awake in His presence. We don't go to some halfway place. We don't go to purgatory. We don't go to anything else. We don't sleep in the grave, brothers and sisters. We awake in His presence. So you see, Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And we have all the fulfillments. The last thing on God's timetable is when He comes and takes away His family. Takes home. Brings them home with Him. We have all these promises. We have this great thing. We have this song in our book. There is coming a day. Brother and sister, there is coming a day. But while we live here, why not keep His sayings? Why not have that faith like Abraham? And do as the Lord commanded us to do. His commandments are not grievous. He's not called us to do such great things. Just to love Him and love one another. If we can keep that first and foremost in our minds, we have that promise that we'll never see death. Because once we close our eyes here, our families see us pass away. And it does leave an aching void. There is sorrow. We miss them. But we could take great comfort in knowing that they're basking in the glory of God. Because, like Abraham, rejoiced to see his day. Brothers and sisters, we should rejoice every day because we've seen his day. We have his promises. So like Abraham, let us rejoice in this day. You know, because this is the day the Lord hath made, right? We will rejoice and be glad in it. So as Abraham rejoiced to see his day, brothers and sisters, let us take comfort in knowing that we can rejoice because we have seen his day also. May the Lord bless you, my friend.